Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 28. And I'm just going to preface this by saying this is a crazy passage. Okay, so I'm going to try my best to unlock it for us. 1 Samuel 28. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war. Sorry, to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Now assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, and you and your men." And David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes, and went, he and two men with him, when they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you." But the woman said to him, "Behold, you know that what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death?" And Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, there shall be no punishment come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid, but what do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me. And God has departed from me and answers me no more, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? Then the Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. And as you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground, was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. And the woman came and to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I've taken my life in my hand, and I've listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants together with the woman urged him, and he listened to them. So he rose from the ground and sat on the bed. And the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it and took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night. Amen. Okay. Let me try my best here. So if you remember from the chapter before, we have David, and I mentioned that I believe that this is a part of David's folly. This is not a good chapter in his life, and he goes, he disregards the prophetic word. Remember, the prophet told him that you should stay in Judah. He leaves, he goes to the Philistines, and he basically ends up lying to King Achish during this time. So now the Philistines go to war against the Israelites. Achish believes that David is his servant now, and so he invites him and says, "Surely, you know, we're going to war. You're going to go to war with us." And it was very easy for Achish to say that because David had lied about fighting the Israelites before this. And so he thinks that basically David is his servant. And so David says, well, okay, you'll see what I can do, which is really a vague statement. The king responds and says, all right, guess what? You're basically going to be my bodyguard. And this was, in this tradition, this was a very, very favorable position. And so the king is actually giving him a place of honor. Now, the summary statement, verse 3 comes up, Samuel was dead. This happened way before, okay? But the reason why the author is bringing up Samuel again is to give a background to the situation that's at hand. During Samuel's time, Samuel was not just a prophet, a great prophet, a Nazirite, but he was also a warrior. Remember, he actually ended up killing some people, particularly spiritists and mediums, which would be like modern day, like New Age practitioners, fortune tellers, palm readers, you know, all that type of thing. And they actually had wiped them off the land because the Old Testament tells us, Leviticus tells us very clearly that it's an abomination before the Lord. And during Samuel's time, it was considered a capital offense. And so a lot of them could be put to death if they kept it up, or they were put to death during this time. And then you can sense the woman's fear during this time. And so Philistines come upon him, and Saul is pretty much unaware that the Lord has left him. Like, he kind of knows, but he doesn't know. And so he constantly pursues the Lord, but the Lord is not there to be found. And so there's the Urim, remember, it's the stones. God wouldn't answer him. God would not answer him through prophets. God would not answer him through dreams. And so Saul is really, really desperate. So he does what is unspeakable in the sight of the Israelites. He goes and finds a medium. And she actually is a little more than a medium. She's what's called a necromancer. And basically what it means, she calls up the dead. And so she comes to this place, and he finds her at Endor. Endor, by the way, was the city of circles. And so it was a spiritual hotbed in that regard. And you know, the occult, they're really into all these circles and all these markings. That's basically what Endor was. So apparently it was pretty well known that there's still these people around, but they're concentrated in one kind of area, which actually even to this modern day is actually quite true. They kind of concentrate towards these certain areas that are hotbeds. So he comes up and he says, I have a job for you. And she's like, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to conjure up somebody. And she's like, well, you know, that's forbidden. It's against the law. And he says, don't worry. You know, basically, hush, hush. I'm not going to tell anybody. And then she does it. So she goes, who do you want me to conjure up? And he says, Samuel the prophet. And now Samuel has probably been dead for a little bit of time. And so sure enough, that's what happens. So she calls him up, and Samuel appears. And then as soon as she recognizes Samuel, she knows that it's Saul, according to the narrative, okay? I'm going to give you a couple of different hypotheses. One, first hypothesis, this was not Samuel. Let me just go along with that, first of all. This was not Samuel. Some evidence to that. Now, in verse 9, when it says the woman, the Septuagint, translating the passage about her profession, actually uses the Greek word translated as a ventriloquist. And so the Septuagint, if you understand, is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so, but the translation there, and it's not in Hebrew, but in the Greek translation, actually is translated as a ventriloquist. So she was fake. And so she was able to throw her voice out, and thus she basically tricked people in believing that she did these kinds of things. Now notice Saul actually never saw Samuel. It was only the lady that actually saw, and then she was able to throw her voice, and seemingly it seems that it possibly tricked Saul to believing it was Samuel. And some scholars believe that the lady knew, the woman knew that it was Saul, and so she was not tricked by it. And so she was just acting the whole time. She acted surprised. She acted afraid. You know, she acted all these things during this time. So that's the one side. No, it was not Samuel that actually came up out of the ground. Now, obviously, if it wasn't, there's another explanation. It was Samuel. And so, which would seem very odd. Okay, when I get to what Samuel, it was Samuel, I'll get to, there's like part 3 and 4. I hope I'm not confusing you guys, okay? Or part A and B. So it was Samuel. And so we can look at the scripture and say, actually, it was Samuel that came up out of the ground because the woman didn't know Saul. She wasn't expecting anybody. She came and she was shocked that Samuel came up, and she was terrified herself. And then she knew details of the story that most regular people would not have known, particularly about the Amalekites and about the kingdom being torn from him and all these things. And she has access to information. By the way, all this information was true. Except, well, okay, we're going to kind of go through a fine line here. Let's go back to this was not true. Some scholars say this is not true because she said that the Philistines will kill you. Actually, that didn't happen. Remember, Saul killed himself. And so there's a line of thinking that says, well, that was a false prophecy in that regard. So let's go back to this side, that it was Samuel. Well, I mean, you can say the Philistines actually, may not have killed him, you know, like, but they, basically Lot died into the hands of the Philistines. So you can make a case for that. It goes either way. And so, but First Chronicles, you don't have to turn there now, but you can turn there later. First Chronicles 10:13. Remember, First and Second Samuel, First and Second Chronicles, First and Kings, is really a relaying of the same stories. One is through their history book, one is through narrative and different things. And so 1 Chronicles 10 seems to be quite clear that Samuel appeared. And if you just take a simple reading of the word, you can come to a very easy conclusion that, yes, this is Samuel appeared. Now, the reason why this is not Samuel, that's really easy, okay? Then it was a trick. She pulled one over on Saul and everybody else, and that's very clean and easy. And we could say, all right, done deal. If it was Samuel, we run into a few problems. Number one being the whole idea of necromancy. In other words, calling people from the dead. During this time, actually, a tradition started happening in Israel where they believe they can call people from the dead. And Israelites, through this experience, actually went into a kind of spiritual tangent in some ways. And so there were people during this time that actually believed that this stuff can happen. Now, if we believe it was Samuel, and by the way, personally, I believe it was Samuel. I don't think that she tricked him, and just from simple reading of the scriptures, I think that this was. So then there's two sources to this, okay? So we're going to stay on the right side of this was Samuel, the prophet. And primarily I believe that because he shared such intimate details of what's happening, what's going on, and predicted correctly that the next day that he would die. And so he does die. At the hands of the Philistines or at his own hands, but in any case, the war and the attack of the Philistines, and he's dead. So was it the devil? I mean, was this a demonic manifestation? Did the devil basically bring Samuel up from the dead, or was it God? So if you go to the right side and you believe this is Samuel, you need to wrestle with that question now. Was it the devil that did this thing, or was it the Lord? And so, if it was the devil, then if it was a devil, you have all kinds of problems as a Christian. Not like your own problems as a Christian, but the way that you have to like connect this in your systematic theology of conjuring. Now, the Bible, let me just read you in 2 Samuel 12, 23. This one you can turn to. This is when David loses his child. This is his conclusion. And he says, "But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." And so David seems to make a very strong statement that the dead do not come back to life. And obviously, you know, we go into the New Testament, is appointed for man to die once, and then judgment. And so we understand that there is an order to death. There's, in other words, there's no reincarnation. And so if you believe the devil actually orchestrated this, you can actually make a case for some sort of reincarnation that would happen. But, I mean, obviously, there's one little passage. Now, obviously, I don't believe it was the enemy. I believe it was the Lord. I believe that God brought Samuel out of the dead, and to maybe not necessarily Samuel, but the spirit of Samuel, something to that effect, and so brought him out of the dead to send a message to Saul. Now, I have a reason why. I personally believe. Okay, so I'm going to interject my own thoughts to this, and we just keep it to ourselves, all right? Because it may sound a little crazy, but. Or maybe not. I believe, and I think one of the things of when I see God giving extraordinary messages to people, doing things, I believe that God gives them a chance at repentance. And my feeling in this passage is that Saul obviously did something very, very bad here by going to a spiritist, to this medium. And in fact, let me see what passage. I think it's 1 Chronicles 10, if I'm not mistaken, as I shared before. As she says, kind of, fair, let's go there, make sure. Sorry, I wrote a whole bunch of verses down, but I don't know which one's which. If someone's got 1 Chronicles 10, 13, is that the summary of Saul? Right? At the end it says, and he even conjured up a... Yeah. And so the Bible condemns what he did. And so it's very aware of this, you know, this episode that happens here. And so, I think my feeling is that he actually gives Saul an opportunity for repentance. He obviously doesn't take it, and you know, he falls to the ground. He's like scared to death. He's terrified, and some of the reasoning why is when I see the Lord kind of go out of his way to meet with people, like sometimes in extraordinary circumstances. Like for example, I'll give you Judas. Remember in the life of Judas, time and time again, the Lord goes out of his way to confront Judas, but in a kind of a really loving way. You know, he says, "The one I dip the morsel and I give them the bread, he is the one that will betray me." And you have that instance that giving, you know, I mean, kind of an extraordinary action and very forthright, but giving Judas an opportunity to repent. But if you know, remember the story, he doesn't repent. In fact, after he rejects the overture of Christ, remember, the evil spirit takes over during that time. And that's what the narrative of the scriptures. And then when Judas comes and he says, you know, in the garden, he says, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And so again, giving him another opportunity for repentance. And you see that time and time again, that when the enemy comes in kind of extraordinary ways or different overtures to people, that it's an opportunity for people to come into forgiveness and repentance in these things, and really the simple background is, you know, if God can speak to a donkey, remember Balaam's donkey, you know, God can do all different kinds of things. And but I will say this though, if you do think it is God that conjures up Samuel, you still run into another problem, because God says that this is sin. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, this is really tricky, man. It's really tough. He simply says through Leviticus, through Exodus. In fact, Exodus 22:18 tells him that a female sorcerer, a female medium, a spiritist, or the one who practices necromancy, should be put to death. And so this seemingly would seem to contradict some ways the commandments of the Lord. And the danger, even for me as a danger as a pastor, is when I see a passage like this, that it could be a proof text in some ways to say, see, nothing wrong with this. You know, let's conjure up, you know, somebody, so on and so forth. And it's a difficult passage, right? So I don't know if I did a very good job of explaining this. I just gave you the different options. But, you know, the end result, it's a really difficult passage. But regardless of, you know, what you think, you know, was it Samuel? Was it not Samuel? If it was Samuel, was it the devil? You know, was it an evil spirit that or was it the Lord that did that? In any case, the conclusion is it is still sin to call up the dead and these type of things. And this now, obviously we think, oh, what's the big deal, blah, blah, blah. Actually, this little issue actually was the basis of some modern-day cults. And so I forgot their name now, but there was this pretty well-known movement, and it's actually still around, primarily in Korea. I don't know why Korea has so many cults, man. It's just really crazy. But there's this idea that a man is supposed to live for 120 years. That's what the Bible says. And so let's say that you died at 50. There's a cult that says that those 70 years, because remember, you were meant to die at 120. Those 70 years, you actually roam the earth as an evil spirit. And so it's basically this kind of the same idea that comes out of this thing. There's another life, even though it's a dark life in that regard. And that's kind of their idea of why, you know, where all the demons came from and whatnot. Well, I mean, the Bible tells us demons came from the fallen angels. You know, I don't know why there's any argument on that case at all. But there's this idea is because they're grappling with these type of passages in the Bible. And so these type of cults, I know what they're called. They're called the Bereans, and which is really interesting because the Bereans in the scriptures were really like studious people. They were commended for their knowledge of the scriptures. But there are a group of people, and there's actually quite a few around the world, and not just Bereans, but there are other cultic-like groups and even old-school like Pentecostal groups that believe that you do conjure up the dead, but in the form of evil spirits and these type of things. Like they change form and they roam the earth and all that stuff until 120 years or whatnot, and that's basically what happens. It gets a bit confusing, you know, in that way. In conclusion, Leviticus 19, 26 and 31, the Bible tells us it is forbidden to seek mediums and spiritists, that this kind of act is prohibited in our life, and so we ought not to do these things. And, you know, and for us too, you know, you need to be aware, fortune tellers, palm readers. In Hong Kong, the jaw sticks, you know, those type of things. There's a form of spiritual power that's attached to those things, but it's a dark spiritual power. You know, if we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against powers, against rulers, against world forces of wickedness and evil, and the Bible is very clear that we are fighting a spiritual battle. These are the weapons of the enemy. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but for the destruction of fortresses, our weapons are prayer, fasting, repentance, forgiveness, you know, all these type of things. There's enemy has weapons of warfare as well, and they are in these evil arts. And so any Christian, you should by no means be involved in any kind of fortune telling, any kind of Asian ritual that does any of these things, because it not only empowers the devil, but it creates a snare and a trap for Christians, you know, to step into. So you have to be kind of very aware of that and keep away from those type of things. And if you have done those type of things in your life, you know, tarot cards and all this stuff, that you need to repent because it's an abomination before the Lord, okay? All right, let's close our eyes. Sorry, I felt like I did a horrible job with that. So many different moving pieces and whatnot. But you know, I just kind of notched that one up to the sovereignty of God. Now, God can do whatever he wants to do. But in speaking about mediums and spiritists and these type of things, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Have you been involved at all in any of these activities? Maybe you even maybe participated in a seance of some type. You know, the enemy wants to deceive us, and he wants us to step into dark power. And if you don't believe that, you know, all you have to do is go to YouTube and Christian ex, you know, spiritist or something, and their testimonies are powerful. You know, like satanic priests that get converted, and they'll tell you exactly what goes on in that realm. Make sure you pick the right video, though. You don't want to get the bad one. But as we talk about these type of things, have there been times where you've been seduced by evil power? Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Maybe as a kid, you went into the temple and bowed. Maybe you're involved as an Asian person in a lot of different ancestral worship, Taoism. It's all part of that. Even, you know, you participated in yoga. You know, yoga is just simply, all those postures are just prayers to one of their gods. It's the way the devil seduces us and creates an opening for him to harass and infiltrate our lives. It seems harmless. I mean, that's what the devil does. It seems harmless, but it's very harmful. And as the Holy Spirit begins to prick your heart about some of these things, just repent. Ask him to forgive you. Renounce these things.
Things you have done, oh, my words could not tell.
This morning, let's ask God to cleanse us from all occultic, demonic activity, even things that we may be unaware of. That's how the Lord works. He works in stealth. He works in secret. Let's ask the Lord to wash us clean, that we'd be holy vessels before Him. And let's pray the fear of the Lord would run our lives. And if you need to repent and renounce, please do so. All right? There is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But let's seek His face. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are sick with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling a non-cancer related illness. And let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's supernatural provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's ask God to continue to bless our leaders and to use them. Let's pray for the government, and let's continue to pray against the wealth gap and ask, cry out to the Lord for revival. Let's lift up the churches that they would preach the gospel with power, and that many would be saved and healed and touched. Let's pray for our friends ministering in the city, Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Mother's Choice, and the Korean Church. Let's also continue to lift up Hong Kong students that have been, a lot of suicides been happening lately. Let's just pray that they would find hope in Christ. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to bless, and let's pray for their health and the family's health. Pastor Mary is off to the States, so if you just pray for a safe trip for her. Today's Pastor Ricky's birthday. You can wish him well. My son, Andrew, is still sick. If you can continue to pray for him. And so just lift up our staff and family members, and let's pray for God's presence in their lives. Let's pray for our worship sound and AV teams. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and other worship leaders. Pray for a real heart of worship and excellence in everything they do. Let's pray for God's hand with them. Let's lift up our hospitality ministry, our welcoming, and our barista. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Ashley as they lead these ministries. Pray for more volunteers and a real heart of love and service would flow from their hearts. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. We love you. Lord, even when we come to sometimes very difficult passages of the scriptures, God, we pray for a real spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that you just show us, God, through the text, Lord, and help us, God, as we try to maneuver through, Lord, sometimes quite difficult passages, Lord. But Lord, in our heart, God, we know, we understand, Lord, that we should stay away from spiritism, God, from all different forms of occultic activities. I pray that you cleanse us. Lord, help us not to be drawn into any of those things by stealth, that we would just really be holy and pure before you. Watch over us today and help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul, God. Everything we have, Lord, comes from you and goes back to you, God. So we thank you. We love you, Lord. Use us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. We're going to finish 1 Samuel this week, finally.